planetaudio.org.nz. planetaudio.org.nz.
Shalom and welcome to Radio Shalom. It's Deb Levy here coming to you from Planet FM. Today we're going to be looking at the pinnacle of the Jewish prayer service. The prayer that we're going to be focusing on today is the Amidah, also known as the Shmoneh Esreh. And before we get into the details of the prayer, I want to take you back to understanding where prayer comes from. The first person that we have in the Torah to pray is Abraham. We find that Abraham doesn't have a formal structured prayer that he gives to Hashem. Abraham just talks to Hashem, talks to God. And this is the way that prayer originated. It wasn't formal or structured. It was a free flow of communication and thinking and talking between man and his creator. And throughout the Torah, we see with our forefathers and foremothers that the way in which they communicate to God is very often verbal. They're talking to God. And it's not that they have a set way of addressing God. It's a stream of consciousness. They're in constant communication. They're talking all the time. And this is originally what prayer was in Judaism. It was just talking to God. And then as we receive the Torah and we become a nation, we see a far more structured way to communicate with God. It's no longer just a purely individual relationship where man talks to his creator. It's become a communal relationship as well, where the people can express their gratitude or do tshuva, do repentance and return in a way that is collective. And we see that through the sacrifices. And particularly once we have the temple built in Jerusalem and the structured sacrifices three times a day, we have a collective way that the whole nation of the people of Israel is connecting with Hashem on a daily basis. And then we face tragedy as a people, right? The temple is destroyed. And we no longer have a way of communicating as a nation, of offering sacrifices to Hashem. And our sages deal with this by instituting a regular prayer structure. And they say we will pray three times a day and our lips will be the substitute for our sacrifices. We can no longer make sacrifices in the temple to Hashem, but we can use our words as a sacrifice, our prayers, or in Hebrew as we say, our tefillah, our prayers, to communicate with Hashem as if it was a sacrifice, and we'll rely on Hashem to elevate it to that level. And so this is the structure that we have today. For Orthodox Jews, there are three structured prayer times a day, and there are many additional prayers that one can make during the day, for example, before eating or drinking or after eating or drinking, that are also formal but not structured in terms of timing of when in the day they fall. So the three times a day that we pray, Shachrit, Mincha, Maariv, the morning prayer, the afternoon prayer, and the evening prayer. And in each of these prayers, the pinnacle of that interaction with God is the Shmoneh Esreh, the Amidah, this prayer in which we stand, and it's designed to bring us to the closest point of being able to communicate with Hashem. So to start with, in terms of exploring the Shmoneh Esreh, my hope is that for those listeners who are engaged in Jewish prayer, this will help you to have a more meaningful experience when you pray the Shmoneh Esreh, the Amidah, this prayer that we're about to explore. And for those who aren't Jewish or aren't using this prayer, that some of the tips and ideas in this prayer can help you with your own spiritual practices, your own mindfulness, or your own prayer. Because there are beautiful nuggets of wisdom as we go through this prayer that are exactly designed to help the human mind, body, and spirit connect to the divine. And so for all of us who are looking to connect, there'll be a gem that you can take away from today in terms of making prayer more meaningful. So the you'll notice that I keep using two names when referring to this prayer. The first name is Shmona Esra, which translates to the number 18. The number 18 in Judaism is hugely significant generally. It's Chai, which is life, and life is held up to be of the utmost importance in Judaism. And so first of all, we have a prayer that is named after 18, the number 18. Why? Because originally it was divided into 18 blessings. Today, we actually have 19 blessings, and that's because after the destruction of the Second Temple, there was an increased fear of the influence of the kind of different heretical Jewish sects that were moving away from Judaism, and particularly in relation to idol worship or moving away from the idea of there being one God. And so the sages at the time felt that there needed to be an extra blessing against those who were slandering Hashem's name. And so there was a 19th blessing that was added. So today, the prayer is still called 18, even though we actually have 19 blessings in there. The other name you'll have heard me use is Amidah. Amidah means standing, the standing prayer. And this is because for those of you who have experienced or seen somebody praying the Amidah, it is said in its entirety in the position of standing. And we face towards Jerusalem, towards where the Holy Temple was. If you're in Jerusalem, you face the Old City. If you're in Israel, you face Jerusalem. If you're in the rest of the world, you face Israel. So we're moving physically towards that place. And spiritually, the idea is to connect back to our roots. And when we are davening or praying this prayer by ourselves, then we do not repeat it and we do it quietly just to ourselves. When we're praying with a group of people, yep, so 10 men or more, a minyan, then we pray individually in that way. And then the leader of the service also does a repetition of the Amidah out loud, where the blessings are said together and we have the opportunity to respond Amen. And some extra blessings are included as well. Today we're going to look at that personal Amidah, the one that's said privately to oneself. And I'd love us to keep in mind the embodiment of prayer, how physically the way in which we use our bodies can help us connect to our own spirituality and connect to God. So before we start the Amidah prayer, we take three steps back to move out of the physical world and three steps forward to move into the spiritual world. And this is an interesting practice, to acknowledge that actually there are a lot of distractions in our physical world. There's a lot going on, and that we are trying to move into a more spiritual place to engage directly with Hashem and with God. And so when we take that physical action of moving three steps back and three steps forward, it's a way for helping us to encourage to take that spiritual action of as well of stepping back and stepping forward. And the words that we say as we move back and forward are, "My Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise." And this is an interesting statement to start with. It's really an acknowledgement when we say, "Lord, open my lips," that nothing happens without Hashem. Even if we want to praise God, we need God's help to do that. It's an acknowledgement of our helplessness and our reliance, but also that we want relationship. This entire prayer is about relationship. The basis of Judaism is to have a relationship with Hashem, with God, that there's a connection there. And so throughout the prayer, we'll see examples of how we're trying to strengthen that relationship through using our words to enhance our spirituality and sometimes our bodies as well. Then comes the first of a series of bows. There are different times during the Shmona Esra where we bend our knees, bow forward and then straighten up in conjunction with saying the words, "Blessed are you, Hashem, God. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God." In Hebrew, it's three words. In English, it's four. So when we bend our knees, we say Baruch, blessed. There's a humility that goes with that. When we say Atah and Adoshem, Hashem's name, we move forward in our bow. And that, again, is humility but also connection. And then we straighten up for Hashem's name. Because it's so holy, it's not appropriate for us to necessarily be bowing down, so we straighten up for Hashem's name. And this is done as one fluid movement. Humility, connection, respect. Humility, connection, respect. That fluid movement of the bow where the knees bend, we move forward and then we stand up straight, is a reflection of the relationship that we want to have with the divine. So then the first paragraph, the blessing that we make, is an acknowledgement of the patriarchs. Yeah, an acknowledgement of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and a reminder that we're connected to them as their children's children. And for Jewish people, it's really important. We're always connecting back into our heritage because we may not be so great, but we know that the people who came before us were. And if we can draw on their merits and if we can benefit from the good deeds that they've done and the connection that they had with God, then that will benefit us as well. And I love it as an example because it kind of reminds me about whenever you go into a new situation and we tend to do the, oh, I went to that school. Do you know blah, blah? Yes, I know blah, blah. Or we go, ah, you work at blah, blah. Do you know this person? Do you know that person? We often will call on our connections to create more connection. And that's what we're doing here. Where our first blessing is acknowledgement of where we come from, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The next blessing that we go from acknowledging our patriarchs is to thinking about Hashem's might. And again, when you think of human nature, if you want something from somebody, because ultimately this prayer is also going to involve requests. We're going to be coming to Hashem and asking him for the things that we need. So we start off by reminding him, okay, we're connected. We have this personal background. Then the second thing we do is we praise Hashem. It makes sense. Before you ask someone for something, it's always nice to give them a compliment. And so we then talk about Hashem's might, God's might. Someone might ask, though, does Hashem really need our prayers? Does God really need our prayers? Why does God need us to praise him and tell him how mighty he is? He knows everything. He knows he's mighty. And yet, reminding Hashem of God's might, we are actually reminding ourselves. In order to keep our faith strong and to keep our trust in Hashem strong, it's important that we remind ourselves just how powerful Hashem is. And so when we're talking about God's might and praising Hashem, it's not just a focus on making those praises, but also on reminding ourselves that, you know what? If Hashem can do all these amazing and powerful things in the world, he can probably help me with my situation now as well. And within that prayer, we start to list some of the amazing miracles that Hashem can do, including supporting the fallen, healing the sick, releasing the bound, maintaining faith to those asleep in the dust. And I love this phrase. It says here, maintaining his faith to those asleep in the dust. There's an acknowledgement that faith isn't just a given. It can be really hard. And I recently heard it described as a muscle. That for those of us who are struggling in terms of our faith or in terms of connection to the divine or the spirituality, that it's unrealistic to think that we can just pick up a huge weight. You know, we would never go to the gym and start with 100 kilos without training. So that actually we need to practice this and need to build up this as if it was a muscle. And one of the ways that doing that is experiencing faith in the little things that we can see God's fingerprint in. You know, for anyone who's held a newborn baby, there's a spiritual divine experience there. And at that point, we start lifting the 5 kilo weights. It's easy to see it at that point. When we're seeing suffering or difficult things in the world, that's the 100 kilos. That can be much harder. So if we start practicing on the 5 kilo things, then that can help us with the 100 kilos. And having some structured daily prayer is part of building that faith a little bit by little bit. Interestingly, on a lighter note, someone once described a membership for the synagogue just like a gym membership, and that you have it, but you don't use it very much, which, you know, for many of us, I think we can relate to, that we want to be part of something spiritual and bigger than ourselves, but sometimes life gets in the way and we do get busy. So after praising Hashem, we then move forward in the prayer to talking about the holiness of God's name. And having then completed this part, where it's an introduction, it's about praise and connection, we move into a big series of requests. And with each request that we make, we first of all highlight an aspect of Hashem, of God's nature, and then we make a blessing after that. So let me give you the example of the first blessing, which of this section, which is for insight, yeah? For wisdom, for being able to know and understand what we need to know and understand. So the prayer starts, "You graciously endow man with wisdom and teach insight to a frail mortal. Endow us graciously from yourself with wisdom, insight, and discernment." And then we make the blessing. "Blessed are you, Hashem, gracious giver of wisdom." Now, one of the recommendations that many rabbis give is that in between the explanation and then the prayer that starts, "Blessed are you," is a really important time to insert any relevant personal prayers about that subject. So I might be struggling with my decision-making at the moment. Let's say that I'm in a situation in my life where I have two opportunities. Both of them seem really good to me and I don't know which one to choose. Now would be an appropriate time to pray about that, because I'm asking for insight. I'm asking for wisdom. I'm asking for discernment. So that would be a part where you could insert a personal prayer. Alternatively, for some people, they prefer to treat the Amidah as a meditation. By the time you're saying this prayer three times a day, and it's usually said in Hebrew, that you're saying it three times a day for, you know, every day for your whole life, you know it off by heart. So it does also become a bit of a mantra. So for some people, they don't want to interrupt their flow. They want to keep continuing. And for those people, there's a special section where you can add in all of your thoughts and prayers and ideas. And we'll get to that shortly. After asking for insight, the next two sections are connected together, looking at repentance or tshuva, which we've spoken about before on Radio Shalom, and more accurately is translated as return, because you're acknowledging that something you've done has damaged your spiritual relationship with Hashem and you want to reconnect. So the repentance, and that's connected to the next prayer, which is for forgiveness. So we connect these two because repentance is something that sits with us. That's something that Hashem can't do for us. If we've done something that's not okay, if we've hurt somebody in a way that's not okay, we can't just rely on Hashem to fix that. We need to do that ourselves. We need to acknowledge, I've damaged potentially two relationships I care about, this person that I've hurt and also my relationship with God, and I need to find ways to repair and restore those relationships, and I need your help to do that. The second aspect, forgiveness, is actually something that we can't do ourselves at all and we're completely reliant on Hashem for. So this order of first praying for repentance and then praying for forgiveness makes a lot of sense, because you can't really have the forgiveness without the repentance necessarily. I mean, maybe you can. Hashem works in mysterious ways. We don't know. But it does make logical sense that first you'd acknowledge what you've done wrong and try and repair it. And then you'd hand it over to Hashem, and the forgiveness is in his side. I really like this as well, because in Judaism, the idea is that once you have corrected your wrong, you should move on. You know, ironic for a culture where the, you know, stereotype is that one of guilt, along with our Catholic friends. But actually, the message is that once you've acknowledged you've done something wrong, you've done what you can to repair it, you then hand it over to God and you walk away. You strive to do better in the future. That episode is finished and you move forward. And I think that's a beautiful message for anyone, not just our Jewish listeners, but anyone who's listening, around not beating ourselves up too much. We do what we can, and then we move forward. After that, we go into a series of prayers that not just look at our own personal wishes, but also looking collectively at what we hope and pray for others as well. We pray for redemption. We pray for health and healing. And again, there's a special part to insert the names of those who are sick that we want extra support and help for. We pray for prosperity. We pray to return us to Jerusalem, to gather in all of the exiled people and return us to our homeland. We pray for justice. We pray against those who are cursing or trying to harm Hashem or the Jewish people as well. And we pray for all of the righteous people whose merits benefit us as well. So, you know, and one of the things I really like in that prayer, if you look at the collection of people who are blessed there, we pray about the righteous, the devout, the elders, the remnants of the scholars. And here we put in a special prayer for the righteous converts, anyone who's chosen to become Jewish. As you probably know, Judaism's not a proselytizing religion. So it's not a religion that encourages people to convert. But there are people out there who know they have a Jewish soul and then choose to go through the process of becoming Jewish. And they're also blessed in this prayer. And then finally, after all of those people, we say, and on ourselves, may your compassion be aroused. And so, you know, the idea is that actually we do everybody, all these other righteous people, but that we have the merit to be included with the righteous, which I think is really beautiful. From there, we talk about some other prayers around the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the bringing of Mashiach, Messiah, which Jewish people believe has not come yet. And then we get to the prayer, which is about the acceptance of prayer. And that is the one that I was speaking about earlier, where if you haven't been praying specifically in relation to the different requests, let's say, you know, you're struggling financially, so you might put a personal prayer in around the prosperity prayer, or you've had some health issues, so you might put in a personal prayer around the health and healing prayers. Now's the time where you can just put in any personal prayer. This is a time when we're saying, please hear our prayers, accept our prayers, be with us, don't turn us away empty-handed. Hear our prayers with compassion and answer them. And that's, again, one moment where a person is just you and Hashem. Judaism believes there's no intermediary required when it comes to each person's individual relationship with God. So while we have structured prayer, which gives recommendations for ways in which to connect with God, in truth, every person's relationship is individual. And so because of that, it's not surprising that there's an encouragement to use one's own words in prayer as well, not just to use the words that are dictated by our sages. After we've done that personal prayer, we have a prayer in relation to the temple services, and then we move on to the Thanksgiving prayer. And I have to make a confession here. The Thanksgiving prayer is absolutely my favorite. Gratitude in general is a theme that's really important to me and something that I was definitely brought up with and I'm ironically very grateful for. And in addition to that, I think there's a huge amount of power for all of us from a psychological point of view in having gratitude and thanking people, not just from a spiritual point of view, but also just in terms of our mental well-being. And so for me, this is my favorite prayer. The Thanksgiving. We gratefully thank you, for it is you who are Hashem, our God, and God of our forefathers for all eternity. Rock of our lives, shield of our salvation are you. And it continues from there, but I just want to stop and pick up on these two words, rock and shield. What's symbolized by a rock? Something that's solid, that's firm, that's permanent, that's there for us. That's a rock. So to remind ourselves that the person we're thanking is a rock for us is not just about acknowledging Hashem, but about giving us faith and confidence as well. The second metaphor we use is a shield, shield of our salvation. The thing I love about the shield is its protection. And at the beginning of the Amidah, we already mention the word shield in that first prayer. And we talk about three things in a series. The first, that when we're praying, these are three references to God that we talk about one after the other. We say Melech Ozel Umoshiach Umagen. A king, a helper, a savior, those are the three, followed by a shield. A king, a helper, a savior, and a shield. With each of these, the relationship is closer. A king helps from a distance. A helper, slightly closer. A savior, you're in their arms, but a shield is held right up against your body. And so when we say shield of salvation, it's also reflecting that intimate personal relationship, the idea that Hashem is watching over each and every one of us individually. Next, we talk about the way in which we thank Hashem and relate his praise for our lives, which are committed to him, and for, and this is the bit I just love, your miracles that are with us every day and your wonders and favors in every season. It's so easy for us to take life for granted and to take the things that we have every day in life for granted. And yet in this prayer, we remind ourselves that every day there are little miracles around us for which we can be grateful. And it expands further to say, in every season, evening, morning, and afternoon, every part of the year, every part of the day. For those of us who can bring that more into our spiritual practice, the research shows in terms of psychology, we're going to be happier, healthier people. So it's not just for our spiritual benefit, it's for our mental and physical benefit as well. After the Thanksgiving prayer, as we come to the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, we move into a place of asking for peace. It's a long prayer. Oh my goodness, being Jewish, we're always asking for peace. We're praying for peace all the time. And it's amazing how many of our prayers talk about peace. And it's not surprising, therefore, that at the pinnacle of our prayer service, a huge blessing that we ask for is peace. And we conclude our last blessing as well, praying for peace. If we look at the idea of peace and praying for peace, it's happening on several different levels. On the one hand, when you read the ideas that are in this prayer, it talks about establishing peace, goodness, blessing, graciousness, kindness, and compassion upon all of us. And it sounds very global. It sounds like we're praying for peace for humanity, for the people of Israel, you know, for the wider public. It sounds like a prayer that isn't so personal, even though it's right in the personal part of the prayer. And yet immediately after that, we go into some of the most intimate and personal language of this prayer, where we ask God to guard our tongues from evil and our lips from speaking deceitfully. And what's very interesting here is that is such a huge part of inner peace. If we really are at peace with ourselves, we stop saying bad things about other people. And if we want to be at peace with ourselves, one of the most important ways is that we do not speak deceitfully. And it's very interesting that we started the Amidah prayer by opening our mouths and asking Hashem to open our mouths. And yet we conclude this prayer by asking Hashem to close our mouths, to guard our tongue. And I want to leave us with that important message today, which is that we have incredible power through the power of speech. We have the ability to lift people up. We have the ability to destroy people. We have the ability to bring peace into our world, and we have the ability to bring destruction into our world. The power that we have because Hashem gave us voice is something that we need to use for good and be really careful about when it comes to using it to damage others. Some of the people in my life that I respect the most are the ones that I've never heard say a bad word against anyone. And some of the people that scare me the most are the ones who are constantly using their words to put other people down. For all of us, it's not just enough to guard our own mouths, but we need a little bit of extra help because we're human beings. It's hard to watch what comes out of our mouths. But like I said before, if we make mistakes, the idea is that we ask for forgiveness, we do what we can to rectify our wrong, and then we put it all in Hashem's hands. Thank you. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee, and you can find the rest of the recordings at www.planetaudio.org.nz/radioshalom.